Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Discover even more flavors from your local coast with Pelican's new craft sodas. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time to start the third hour on a Wednesday, brought to you as always by Pelican Brewing Company. They invite you to take a beach break at one of their four coastal locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and Lincoln City. Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. There's another big game going on this weekend in the Northwest. A lot of eyes here locally on Oregon and Penn State. That game is out in Pennsylvania. There is one happening on home soil, and it's Saturday afternoon at 12:30. Ohio State is in town in Seattle to take on the Huskies, who, look, I can feel however I want to feel about Washington. I don't think they got a single top 25 vote this week, which makes literally no sense.
Dropping 59 on the road.
It's like somebody's got to vote them at like number 23 or 24. Joining us now to talk about that game and the Huskies, Elise Woodward, friend of the program, sideline reporter for the Huskies. Give her a follow on Twitter at Elise M. Woodward. Can you make sense of how Washington doesn't have a single top 25 vote?
I mean, I guess if you just look at the schedule of who they've played, they haven't beaten anybody in the top 25. But, I mean, Colorado State's a good program, and, you know, Washington State's a rivalry game, and they put 59 on the board. So I don't know, guys. But I don't know who you guys are rooting for, Ohio State or Washington in this game. You guys have some mixed emotions down there in Duckland.
Yeah, this one's a little confusing. I'm not going to lie. I'm trying to—
Oh, we know who you're rooting for.
I mean, look, I can't root for the Huskies in any way, shape, or form in my life. But to say I'm rooting for Ohio State would be too— like, I can't root for them either. They did what they did to my team on New Year's Day, and I can't forget that. What's the energy and the vibe like up there, Elise? I mean, this is a massive opportunity for Jed Fish in year two.
Well, I think that's exactly it. I think for Washington and from the players and from the coaching staff, they understand this is a 12:30 kickoff on national TV. All eyes are going to be on them. They're playing the number one ranked team in the nation. Washington has won 22 games in a row at home, and y'all know how loud Husky Stadium can get. And, you know, they're trying to make it another situation where all you saw was purple, which is, you know, what Marinovich said way back in the day. They want to bring the heat. They want to bring the electricity. It's going to be a gorgeous day in the Northwest. And it's one of those games that you kind of circle on the calendar, especially because I think there's a little added incentive for some of the fans to get loud because Ohio State canceled the series with Washington a couple of years ago. And then, oh, you got to play against Washington anyway because now you're Big Ten partners with them. So there's just a lot for Washington to be able to stamp themselves as, yeah, if you want to get in the top 25, you beat Ohio State. Guess what? You're going to be in the top 25.
Right. Yeah, it's going to put you up high in the ranking. We know Williams, Coleman, and Boston have been great. Is Washington ready to battle a team like Ohio State, or do you think they still have a little bit of room to grow before they could do something like beat Ohio State this weekend?
Well, I think if you're at home at Husky Stadium, you've always got a chance, that's for sure. I think there's been some real strengths that Washington has shown in the first three games, and it really doesn't matter who you play. Jonah Coleman is a beast. Mm-hmm. He is a menace. He has lost some weight. He is in fantastic shape. The guy, you know, breaks tackles. Last week, you all know how he can run the football inside and outside of the tackles, and then this guy last week puts 100 yards receiving on the board. He's a problem. And Damon Williams, last year he got some really good experience. Some of that was at the whiteout against Penn State, where he played really well in relief. But so he's a kid that is just getting better and better, and he is an electric athlete, but he can also spin it. This guy is, he's a good thrower. He is a dual threat guy. He's little, but he's lethal. And so I'm going to be really curious to see against the physicality of the Buckeyes, what he can do. If there's one thing about DeMond that you're like, okay, he's young. He doesn't want to get out of bounds very often, which against a big physical team, you don't right. want him to take a hit and the season's over. And you know, for him, moving the pocket and getting rid of it, sometimes he'll just hang on to it too long. I believe that he has such a belief in his ability to make things happen and to be a magician, and we've seen it enough even in the small sample size. But sometimes that can catch up to you. So it's kind of live by the sword, die by the sword with that. But I think the Huskies offensive line is much improved over a year ago where it was just kind of thrown together. And so, the ability for the offensive line to hold up and give him some time to make plays, they've got some really good high level options. I think defensively is where the concern is. Washington State was able to move the ball through the air against Washington last week, and they got good pressure. Washington actually leads the nation in getting pressure to the quarterback. Over 50% of the time they're applying pressure to the quarterback, but they got to bring the quarterback down. They made a change at cornerback in that Apple Cup to, and went to a freshman. So the physicality on that side of the football, I think, is what's going to be the test. If they can hold up against, a bunch of five-star, four-star, physically imposing beasts, then it's going to be a good game.
Yeah, we're talking with Elise Woodward, sideline reporter for the Huskies. Give her a follow on Twitter, at Elise M. Woodward. Huskies take on Ohio State this weekend. 12:30 is the game, and it's a big one for Jed Fish in year two. You mentioned the defense there, because that would be something that I would say coming into the game at the start of the year. I'm like, man, that's a big advantage for Washington in terms of Ohio State's going on the road with a young quarterback. I believe this is the first road game that he's played. And we, as you mentioned, we know how tough that setting can be to go win. They have one of the longest home winning streaks in all of college football. But then watching the defense, now I'm concerned of, is that the big limitation or strength for Washington if they're not going to be able to get stopped? Where are they at health-wise? Because I know some of the starting corners have been down. They lost a linebacker this last weekend. They're hoping to get one back. Where do they feel health-wise on that side of the ball going into the game?
Yeah, that's also a concern. Their best defender, in my opinion, was a transfer from Washington State, Buda Al-Ukta, who suffered an injury in the second half against the Cougars, which is very unfortunate. He is a stud. He had 15 tackles this season. He was the guy that wore the headset on defense. So that's a concern. He is not going to be able to play this week, and he probably won't be able to play for quite some time. They do have a linebacker, Manu, who is a first-team all Pac-12 dude at Arizona, who is yet to be healthy. He went through warm-ups last week. He's right there, and so it will be very interesting. You lose one all-league type of player, and you can gain another one. That would be gigantic for the Huskies, but I don't know. We'll see game time. I think all the Husky fans are hoping that he can go and give him and bolster that defense. So that is something certainly to watch for if they can find a way to get a replacement for Buda Al-Ukta, because he's a really good player.
Yeah, it's tough to find differences, Elise, of small sample sizes, but I'm just curious, as somebody who's watching this team week in and week out very closely, what are subtle or pretty noticeable differences in just coaching styles from what DeBoer was in Seattle to what Jed Fish so far has been?
It's such different personnel. I mean, it's really hard with different personnel. There are some similarities where I think that this game against Ohio State, in my opinion, for Washington to win it, they're going to have to put a lot of points on the board. And it's much like their team with Michael Penix. Their defense was good, but their offense was freaking electric. And they won a hell of a lot of ball games and made it to the national championship with a defense that was good enough and with an offense that would kill you. And I think that's, if Washington is going to pull off an upset, that similar style has to be. Like, DeMond Williams is going to have to make a ton of plays. He's going to have to make guys miss. So is Jonah Coleman. They're going to have to be able to run the football with him. Denzel Boston is a really good wide receiver. He's got great length. He's 6'4 on the outside. He had a great catch on a fade route. Mm-hmm. They've got weapons. It's going to have to be, they're going to have to outscore you. I give Jed Fish a ton of credit. When Kalen DeBoer left to go take Alabama, it's the world of college football, right? You got to pivot. You've got to be quick on your feet. So many of those kids that were high level and had just played in the national championship, they either graduated or they went in the transfer portal, or they went in the NFL draft. And so there was not a lot of guys left. I think for Jed Fish last year to guide Washington to a bowl game and in just, I mean, they scrapped together an offensive line. This year, it's much more stable. It's a different feel. You've got leaders that have been in the locker room now for two seasons. They know what Husky football is about. They understand the passion from Husky Nation. All those things about, you know, that you just don't understand in your first year with the program. Even Jed Fish, he has admitted that he learned a lot last year about what the Apple Cup means in the state of Washington. And they worked their asses off to win that game. And you could just tell it was a rivalry week, there's so many differences, as you guys know, in the Civil War. It's weird playing it in September. It's weird when it's sunny outside and you're playing in your rivalry right. game. But they made a concerted – it was different. It was a different vibe. It was a different energy. They said all the right things last year, and then it just wasn't the result. That the Cougars were just flat out more passionate in that game last year. That was not the case this year. So it's been, I think for this Husky team, it certainly has been a work in progress, but this year has a different feel just about, you know, knowing where to be, what to do, and what Husky football is all about.
Well, we've in a way at least talked about that, of like how you cannot sulk in your feelings and sit there and say, woe is us. You got to kind of move on as soon as you possibly can in the way that college football is. Oregon State is still sitting yep. there crying tears about being left instead of saying, we don't have a good coach. Let's move on. Let's try to build something better. I'm curious how much Jed internally, maybe when he got to Washington and seeing how empty the cupboard was, but still feeling great about being in the Big Ten and being in Seattle, how much he has helped the athletic department not sit there and say, well, we lost our coach to Alabama. Like how much the athletic department itself kind of kicked itself into gear even more of like, we're not going to sit here and be 5 years of rebuilding. We're going to take our lumps year one, and we're going to try to take a major step forward year two.
Well, I think the one thing, Judge, he is a relentless recruiter and a relentless seller of Washington football. That is the thing. I have been super impressed with his ability to get top level talent. And, you know, so many guys followed him from Arizona. And I know the Arizona fans were really upset about that, but it does speak to Jed Fish and how he treats his players and what they want to do and getting them prepared to play at the next level. And, you know, he won 10 games at Arizona. That program was a total disaster when Jed Fish took over. Mm-hmm. Washington football was not a disaster. It was just in transition, which it's going to happen in college football now with the transfer portal. It is. So you better have somebody that can figure out a way to, you know, make chicken salad sometimes. Like you're going to be handled. You're going to get some adversity. And so he's been able to do that. I've been very impressed with his ability to build a roster quickly with high-level talent and to be competitive right away. And then now the challenge for him is to continue to build. And through the first 3 weeks, you know, it looks good. But obviously a massive challenge here on Saturday. It's a litmus test. You're good. How good are you? You know, you're going to find out when the number one team in the nation visits your house.
No doubt about it. Any other random keys that you got your eye on that you think might end up having a big impact on the game this weekend?
Well, I think you mentioned some of it. Until you play in front of a crowd on the road, you know, you guys know it in Austin. We know it in Husky Stadium. You know, you guys are going to go to Penn State. When you're a young quarterback, we'll see what Julian's saying. And, you know, he's a very talented guy. There is no question. Mm-hmm. But is he going to get rattled when it's third and long and that crowd, the whole stadium is shaken?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it's just something that you don't know. We don't know until the lights go on game day how freshmen are going to handle an environment like that. And so that's an X factor for me. And we, you know, and I think just to reiterate that Washington's defense, they took the hit in the middle and they're leading on defense. So we'll see how they can adjust to that. And I think that's the two big keys for me is, you know, what's going to determine who's going to win this game.
Yeah, nothing matches the energy of a big game. The vibes all week. Everybody's kind of build, a slow build, kickoff right around the corner. I'm sure you're pumped up there.
Yeah, you guys mentioned that postseason loss. The Huskies last time they saw Ohio State was in the Rose Bowl down in 2019, and that was a game where Washington just was not ready to play from the get-go. And then they steadied themselves and in the second half completely outplayed the Buckeyes. It's like, God, if their alarm would have gone off an hour before, they could have won that game. So, you know, they've got a little something, a little bone to pick with Ohio State, too. It's one thing that the Duck fans and the Husky fans can share.
I mean, who doesn't hate Ohio State fans, right? Unless you're Ohio State fan, we all hate Ohio State. So
one time a year you guys root for each other.
The one time a year where you were like, you know what, I'm kind of in agreement with you right there.
You're going to hear the cheers from Oregon all the way up here when the Huskies score, right? Is that what you're telling me?
I don't know about that. Let's calm down a little bit, Elise. All right, don't take this too far. Elise Woodward, friend of the program, Husky sideline reporter, Elise M. Woodward on Twitter. Go give her a follow. Have a great call this weekend. Have fun in that environment, and I'm sure we'll be catching up again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, fellas.
There you go. Elise Woodward, Husky sideline reporter. They get ready to take on Ohio State this weekend.
I make a real argument, as much as you love to bag on Washington and throw shots and enjoy the rivalry game with them, I'd make a real argument it's probably in your better interest for them to win one because you knock Ohio State off and make them look, you know, mortal.
Well, they would have a conference loss, too. Oregon doesn't play them this year.
Two, I just think the better the two teams are when they play at the end of the year.
Oh, the juice in the rivalries.
Even more juicy. If they beat Ohio State,
there was no juice going into that game last year other than Oregon's just getting the monkey off their back after losing a couple in a row.
They started DeMond. It was over at that point.
You knew the game wasn't going to be competitive. Let's do a little peekaboo on this game, shall we? This is a big one. I want to talk a little bit about it and some of the other matchups around college football that are going on this weekend. The Daily Ticker, as always, brought to you by our wonderful friends at Pelican Brewing Company. They invite you to take a beach break at one of their four coastal locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and Lincoln City. Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. UW hosting Ohio State this weekend. Let's play some peekaboo with it next on 105.1 FM, The Fam. Well, fun conversation with Elise Woodward. She's all fired up. I will not be rooting for the Huskies this weekend, but I understand the implications if they win are not negative for my team.
I think you win either way. I think if Ohio State drops,
it's a win-win for me.
And if the Huskies lose in blowout fashion, you get to go.
Also, a nice moment for Huskies if they pull off that upset. The stress-free watching of Oregon, Penn State, knowing you already got. There's no better feeling in college football than your team getting a big win, like a nice, marquee, juicy dub, eating that Jameis Winston dub, and then getting to sit around and watch programs that you hate stress through their game and one that they might lose. And you're Jerry Seinfeld on the couch in the GF saying, that's a shame. You know, so if they find a way to beat Ohio State, watching that Oregon Penn State game gets even more entertaining. Now, if they lose and it doesn't go well for them, then you're in a difficult spot because if Oregon wins, you know you're going to hear about it on Monday. Where are you at on that game? So the line has been kind of all over the map. We will pick it in our Big Pack picks tomorrow. We got to make our Big Pack picks tomorrow, and that's a juicy one. Where I think it was opening up north of 10 points.
It opened at 14.
14?
Two tutties
whittled,
open.
Whittled. We're down, I think, in some places to below 9 points. It's basically a touchdown spread.
It's 8.5 almost everywhere except DraftKings has it at 7.5.
So it's down below 8 at DraftKings. Yeah. So we might even get south of a touchdown by the time. A lot of money coming in on the Huskies. Is that just a value bet to cover the spread? Do we think they got a legitimate chance to win? Where are we at on the game?
I don't know if I'm ready to say they're ready to win this game. I think it's more play about points. Look, I've I heard it. I saw it. I watched the defense of Washington at Washington State, and everybody's going to use Washington State game North Texas. They're going to use week one against Idaho, and they're going to say, oh, that defense is not good in any way. And as she just pointed out, they lost one of their best players.
Yeah, the Coug transfer. They're going to get Manu back, it sounds like, at linebacker, who we all remember him from Arizona. I don't know if Dakario Davis is going to play, and he was one of the other big transfer kids.
I get it. I'm not saying I didn't watch the defense not look amazing. I also saw a defense lock the F in and shut them down completely and body bag them late in that game and basically neuter the Cougar offense. That being said, I think you just kind of go into this having to bet points, don't you? Maybe Ohio State will really stun me with their defensive performance. I just think the world of what the Huskies offense is. I think Jed Fish is a great game planner. I think Coleman is in the conversation as one of the best backs in the country. And I cannot wait to see Boston and Smith, both seeing those stud wide receivers. Smith clearly the more notable name here for the country.
Mm-hmm.
Boston's got a real chance to make the rest of the country go, oh my God, that kid.
He's
going to
be a first-round pick. He's going to be a first-round pick in April.
His size, his hands, she mentioned the fade that he caught. He's unbelievable what he is able to do. I like their chances to keep this close. I don't know if I'm ready to say they can beat Ohio State yet, but to her point, what's the toughest environment Julian Sayin started a game in?
This is it. It's not even close.
This one is going to be, your ears will be ringing at this game. So
this is his first, I believe this is his first ever road start, because all three of their games this year have come at home.
I think the line moving the way it has, Vegas doesn't have to mean everything. I think it's gone this way for a reason. I think Washington is ready to show up at a 12:30 kick and electric atmosphere and show what they are offensively. The problem is, I just don't think their defense is ready to make enough stops against that Ohio State team.
That's the tough part, because if they had a better defense coming into the game and you had the Julian Sayin first road start, that environment, and having to handle all of that, there would be a strong smell of an upset here. But I just, that to me is two weak spots that something's got, like Washington's defense, I'm not that scared of, especially with the injuries. And I get your point late in the game. They got turnovers and they absolutely locked in when they needed to. They also let Washington State go up and down the field and do whatever they wanted for three quarters. Is that their focus is on Ohio State? I don't know. I also wasn't that scared of their defense coming into the year. But I also have Julian Sayin on the other side, who the last time we saw them play, they were in a dogfight with Ohio at home, and he threw two picks.
I almost wonder if both were stuck in, I know Ohio State had a bye, but I almost wonder if it was, oh, I have a free weekend next week, and then we're Washington and Seattle, so who cares, we'll beat Ohio.
Very well could have been.
I'm not saying like winning close games against opponents like Ohio and FIU is something to just completely dismiss. I just also, we see this with college football teams. They don't need to try and they win. Oregon didn't need to really try that hard. They clobbered Oregon State.
No, they're just too much talent.
I'm not saying they did that to the Cougs. I think there was revenge on their minds why they scored 59 points in that game.
Mm-hmm.
But a bit of a slow start. I guess I would ask you on the defense, because I agree mostly with your defensive point on Washington, which is why I don't think they're ready to win this game.
Yeah.
If the Cougs score 10, not 24, does it change anything? Because I don't know if it does for you.
I think part of it for me, 10, I wouldn't say you played terrible defensively if you only gave up 10.
No, but I don't think you'd put a lot of eggs in the Washington defense basket is impressive.
No, it wouldn't have changed my opinion of saying all of a sudden I'm intimidated by their defense. I wouldn't have the same level of concern about their defense, I guess I would argue. Because it felt like even at times, like opening drive of the game, I think they got an interception from Washington State. But even before they threw the pick, like the Cougs moved it into Washington territory. So it felt like they were consistently moving it all night. And their secondary was having some trouble and they had to bench some guys and bring some other guys in. Manu's going to help in the middle, but you got to have a new play caller at linebacker, because that guy is now out for the foreseeable future. If they get Dakario Davis back, and that would be a surprise, it sounds like from everything I've read at this point, that's a big boost. Like the fear of playing an Ohio State team in that offense is that, yes, they have an inexperienced quarterback playing his first game on the road in a tough environment, and that is a brutal environment to go play in. He has the best player in the sport on his team. And it's like,
yeah,
if I'm calling plays for Ohio State, I'm like, just give him the ball. Screen, I don't care. Slant, I don't care. Hitch, fade, just throw it to Jeremiah Smith and he's going to make something happen. And it makes your life so much easier as a young, inexperienced quarterback. But we'll talk this week about what the implications would be if Dante Moore wins at Penn State, because I have this sticky note here that says he's not going to be in New York from somebody who hosts this radio show. And if he wins this weekend, he looks good. He's maybe heading in that direction. Talk about a Heisman moment. If Damon Williams wins this game, I think we all vision the upset being the same. Like, if Washington wins, it's going to be a shootout. They're going to score a lot of points. I have a hard time seeing them winning like a 14-10 upset. Maybe it does. You know, football game surprises from time to time. If they do, I imagine he's going to be outstanding, and he would immediately, like, he would rock it up leaderboards for the Heisman. If they beat the number one team in the country and he looks good doing it, they're in the conversation and he's in the conversation.
Yeah, certainly. He could have a great game and be in it. I also find it interesting, like, at this point, and even given Hunter won it last year, just change it to quarterback, because there's also a world where Coleman has a fantastic game and it's going to be DeMond.
Yeah.
I think Oregon's the same thing. I think Oregon couldn't maybe rush the ball for a ton of yards on Penn State.
Quarterbacks get the credit.
Dante,
that's the way it works.
Be totally fine and right. good, but not amazing, right. and still get out, and it's going to be Dante Moore, Dante mm-hmm. Moore, Dante Moore. So
yep.
that's definitely what can happen. I cannot wait to see, and I think her point on Fish, him coming in there, and I know everybody's writing him under the Florida job. I still don't know if Florida's really going to go that direction.
Do you want him to win this game? Because it's only going to up his profile for big big jobs if he beats Ohio State this weekend.
Oh, well, I mean, sure, I guess. I just want, I think it's better when Washington and Oregon are
for
really
sure
good. That's what I root for mainly, so when they play, the game matters. As a viewer, that's what I care about. I think he deserves a little more credit, man. Like, that cupboard was as bare a cupboard.
Yeah.
And they got the rest together pretty quickly. They blew some games last year, so they could have been an 8-4, 7-5 team. They were 6-6, and it was disappointing, mainly because they lost the Cougs. You're in year two, and you have a chance. You got a shot to beat Ohio State. To go to that level in the second year, a pretty massive step in the right
huge,
direction.
Huge, dude. If they beat Ohio State this weekend, yeah. it's massive for them. Pretty I don't know where step. The rest of the year is going to go, but it'd be the biggest win that they've had, obviously, in the Jed Fish era, and it would set them on a trajectory to be great the rest of the year.
You play the schedule game if they win this game.
Oh, for sure you do, right? I mean, it's a find-out game about both of them. I know Ohio State has the win over Texas, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend as if Texas has been dominant offensively. And so we'll see what the Washington offense can dial up, especially being at home against them. But it's going to be a fun one, man. 12:30 on Saturday. Really looking forward to it. I'll say last note on this in our peekaboo. We'll talk more about it the rest of the week. We've got to pick the game tomorrow. It's simply just that we saw at the end of last year, and I think their offensive line is much better, but I want to say Damon Williams, when he started against Oregon, I think he was sacked 10 times in that game, and Jonah Coleman had negative rushing yards, like I think literally negative rushing yards for the game. Mm-hmm. Their offensive line is better. That, to me, is still one of the biggest questions I have coming in.
It's
I know
front.
Ohio State has a different level of big dude up front, and I know they lost some guys to the NFL, but those are all blue-chip NFL draft prospects on the defensive line, and it's different than running the ball against Washington State. And so that's one of the biggest questions I have is, can they keep him upright, and can he deliver in a big game? So, Washington, Ohio State coming up 12:30 Saturday. Excited about it. Let's dive into some controversy locally. What's going on here, and do we not like the group now? We'll dive into it next. Here we are, aware of the problems that YouTube has been having again today. We have sent emails. We've flown it up the flagpole, if you will.
Why are we having YouTube issues?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Lucy Burge coming up top of the hour on YouTube. If it works, she's going to be on YouTube.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Piece that together. What are we going to do?
Yeah. I mean, I think we're still live. I think it's still...
She'll still be on the phone.
Technically
we,
on.
Because we can't do the YouTube thing only.
I got no answers. Okay, let's talk about this. So yesterday... We're on to Seattle. We're on to the Portland Fire. We got dogs and cats fighting. We got brother and sister brouhaha-hotting in the streets right now. For those who forget...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Cotton, we have a WNBA team coming to town next summer.
We do. No coach.
Well, maybe not next summer because there's probably going to be a lockout. So maybe it's the next summer after that. They might miss an entire year.
Maybe, yeah.
We finally hired a general manager. We don't have a coach, but we got a GM at least, right?
Yeah.
Progress. And
yeah.
They announced they're going to be the Portland Fire.
Yep.
The family that owns that team, the Bethal family, am I saying that correctly?
I believe that's correct.
They also own the Portland Thorns.
Yes.
They have filed a lawsuit.
Against Dunder.
Against the old Dunder. Against old Dunder Mifflin. Tom Dundon, the new owner of the Blazers, or soon to be owner of the Blazers.
Yeah.
Not so fast, my friend. Maybe, according to Lee Corso. They have filed a lawsuit in Delaware, because that makes sense. Essentially trying to get the deep-pocketed founders of Panda Express, remember they were the last big-money tandem to join on with Dundon when the Allen estate announced that the agreement had been reached and now it's got to be ratified, yada, yada, yada. It was the founders of Panda Express, one of them a Beavergrad, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, they're filing a lawsuit essentially saying that the family that started Panda Express, it's worth, I believe, $7.7 billion, they were originally working with the Bethal family to try and buy the Blazers and then backed out at the last second and broke a confidentiality agreement.
That's how I'm reading
and
this.
And teamed up with Tom Dundon.
Yes.
Because when it was first publicly announced that Dundon's bid was going to succeed, remember the Allen estate didn't announce it. It was all that, you know, I think the Sportico had the report or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The reporting, according to the Oregonian, said that they were still fighting behind the scenes, the Bethal family was, to become the primary purchaser and bidder for the team.
Mm-hmm.
And a big part of their money was the $7.7 billion that comes with Orange Chicken, because Orange Chicken is fantastic.
Yeah.
And they're claiming that they had an agreement with them, and then they broke a confidentiality agreement, and they teamed up with Tom Dundon instead, and so they're filing a lawsuit.
Yeah, I mean, I find it all odd when lawsuits get filed, and it's like, where did they file the lawsuit? Delaware.
Delaware. We're in Delaware.
Right, because there's probably some legal stipulation about confidentiality.
Well, most large, ginormous corporations are founded in Delaware, and there's something about those state laws that allow it.
That's why they take it there.
Yes.
I hate that. I feel like it should have to be in the state in which you're fighting, but, you know, I don't make legal rules. This is a very odd thing, because as you highlighted earlier, I don't know if they're going to be successful in this lawsuit. Dundon could very well still have the Panda money with him, and we move on and go, remember when that happened? It does kind of make me despise the ownership group filing the lawsuit.
Yeah.
It's a very odd dynamic. They're going
to
have a
WNBA. This is how you start your relationship, and you're supposed to be playing in the same building, by the way. Do we know that we need a new arena? I'd imagine the two organizations need to work together, and the owners need to work together.
Yeah, off to a rip-roaring start.
Build a new arena, and now we're filing a lawsuit against each other? And we haven't even bought the team yet, and you don't even have a team yet, and you've been kind of incompetent. You didn't hire a GM. Well, you hired a GM, then you fired the GM, then you
hired a
GM.
Hired a president.
Fired a president. Thank you.
Got their first general manager. I would also argue.
Why don't you figure your ass out first?
And all this will do is hold things up from whoever is going to own the team, from taking ownership of the team and making whatever changes need to be made in order to get things moving forward.
I would also argue, too, like, I don't know how they're going to be as WNBA owners. I can't even really speak to how they are as Thorn owners. What I would say, I love that the teams are going to have a facility out in Hillsboro together. That's great. Looks like an awesome facility. What I would say, though, here is, like, I'm rooting for them to lose this lawsuit. They are more poor than Tom Dundon. So it's not only that they want the Panda money because it puts them over the top.
They both need the Panda money.
I agree with that. But Dundon is multi-billionaire. We're not even sure they have $1 billion, the Bethal family.
No.
So we not only might have a different ownership group, which I doubt we will, but let's hold that. We would have less money with the new ownership group than we would with the Dundon group.
Right.
I don't want that. I want the group with the most money, not the group with the less money.
There's also not even a guarantee that if you win this lawsuit that you end up being the team that wins the bid to buy the Blazers.
Well, yeah, because then there's other groups. Dundon doesn't have
another deep-pocketed owner.
Deep in a pocket of like, I'll do it if they back out, or I'll do it if this doesn't go your way.
I don't know if people realize this, but billionaires want to be involved in professional sports because the valuations of teams only continue to go up.
Correct amount.
And so there's a lot of people out there who don't necessarily want to be the primary owner because they don't want the responsibility. They don't want to be the villain when things go wrong. But I have billions of dollars in a bank account, and you need me to own 10%? Sure. Like, Dundon will be able to. This happened originally. Remember, there was the story that came out about some guy who had a questionable legal pass, and everybody said, "Oh, this is going to ruin the bid. This is going to ruin the ownership." And what happened? He went and found Panda Express money, and they're worth $7 billion. And they were like, "Yeah, sure, we'll jump on and buy the team with you." If they win the lawsuit and this falls through, if Dundon is still the primary owner that the Allen estate wants to deal with, he's going to go find another billionaire that ponies up a little bit of money to get him over the top. I don't know. This is a weird story.
Have we ever had this in our city?
Filing lawsuits?
Sports ownership groups suing each other?
Not to my knowledge.
One suing the other?
I mean, we haven't had a lot of, we don't usually have two teams.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of sports teams. Yeah,
there hasn't been really any opportunities in the past. Yeah, talk about.
She changed her mind. Like, Oregon State, Panda Lady, she changed her mind.
I mean, the bigger story out of all this is she's a Beaver alum worth $7.7 billion. Where's that Orange Chicken Panda Express Reeser Stadium money coming? Because you guys could use a little bit in Corvallis right now. What is it with billionaires who go to your school who don't care about college football?
Well, we basically have a trillionaire and we have a multi-billionaire, and I don't know if either have donated athletically.
And they clearly care about sports. If she wants to be a part of the, or if they want to be a part of the Blazer group, like,
somebody's going to chime in as a Beaver fan, like, "You idiot, she donated to the Arts Foundation." And I'm going to be like, "That's awesome. Cool.
I'm here to major in football, okay? Let's get some money for football."
"The business building, Sprague. It's been upgraded. Did you not read the story?" I'm like, "Sorry, I didn't go to the business building when I was at OSU."
So we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out. But that's a lawsuit filed in Delaware.
Does anybody have a more rich alum that's not donating to their athletic department than OSU?
I'm sure there's one out there, but you might have the richest person. I mean, he might be the richest person on the planet.
He has more money than the India economy. I don't think you're going to find somebody that has more money that's not donating to the athletic department of their alma mater.
Just give us anything.
Than Oregon State.
If you gave us $500 million, you wouldn't even notice it was missing.
I would be careful doing this. I didn't know this was a real hot button issue for Beaver fan of like, don't tell someone how to spend their
money.
Well,
you guys are built, not bought. Until somebody buys you, then you're all about being bought. Let me tell you.
Lunch pail you.
A lot of fun to get bought.
A
lot of fun.
Digital lunchbox.
I'm back after this on the Fam. All right, we'll talk to Lucy Burge coming up top of the hour. Statter story, 9:15. I feel very good about my statter story today.
Are you now?
Very good. I love my story. Good story.
Okay.
I was going to talk about something here, but I got sidetracked by a text at the fan text line, 503-864-6326. That's how you can reach out to us. Now, it was primarily a joke, but it did get me thinking. Your program and your football, your athletic department, your program's gone through a lot the last couple of years, and it's not very pretty right now. They play Houston on Friday night.
14-point underdogs.
14-point underdogs at home against Houston for a 7:30 kick on a Friday night against Houston. How big of just a small little PR win would announcing we're going back to Benny the Beaver be? like we can't do anything else right. I know we're not going to win a lot of games.
Yeah.
Fans, guess what? The Nutri is dead. We've killed it, and Benny the Beaver is back as our mascot and our logo on our helmet. Would that at least get people to shut up for 48 hours?
Outside,
because I think it would for me if I were a Beaver fan. Of like, at least I got one victory here.
Outside of a couple people randomly on the internet who tell me I'm wrong, this would be the easiest win.
Just a layup. It's right there.
If I ever got the gig of athletic director of that university, which I never would because I don't have the resume for it, I would implement this immediately.
That's first call right there. Boom. Right out of the gate.
And our throwback uniform?
Permanent.
It would be permanent, but our alternate uniform would be the early 2000s Beaver because people also loved that logo too.
A great logo.
The Nutria era has largely not been great.
No.
And outside of two seasons, it's been a disaster. So, yeah, I don't know if it would fully get people back. You need to show that you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But I do think it would get some people like,
All right.
We're turning some of this around.
Hey, positive story. We haven't had one of those in a while.
They rebranded in March of 2013.
I'll never forget it. We were very early on as a show, and I remember that was a big announcement. We all waited, and then we saw it, and it was like, oh.
And according to this, it was an 8-year contract.
So that deal's up.
That existing deal was up, and so maybe they've re-signed quietly to just keep, like, that.
Talk about the merchandise
what
sales,
a bad
too.
Choice.
Like, how many more people, I know you're included in this because you don't like rocking the Nutria.
I won't buy a Nutria-based gear.
But if they broke out all this cool throwback swag with the old Benny the Beaver logo and cursive beaver stuff, and they're selling that, like, how much more money are you going to make?
I mean, you'd make a decent chunk of change because I quite often go to, what's the throwback company? They make old school apparel.
So like Home Field Apparel
home
or whatever.
Field, thank you. I will go to home field once every 2 weeks, and I'll check everybody's gear, and then I always click the Beaver stuff, and I'll go, oh, my God.
God, that's so sexy.
Because it's easy. Yeah. It's the most no-brainer thing you could possibly do.
The nostalgia play for fans.
And they continue to want to be the Nutria Beaver team that just doesn't have success.
Well, we can ask Lucy Burge about this to start the final hour, too. What do we make of Major League Baseball randomly announcing in the middle of the, well, I guess at the end of the regular season, leading into next regular season, that we are going to have a challenge system for balls and strikes? That got announced yesterday.
We have robot umps.
Robot umps. Well, it's not robot umps. Well, kind of. Robot challenge system.
It's the challenge system.
The umps will still be human, but we now have the ability to challenge calls.
Well, how often can you challenge
it? It's going to be fantastic.
You're excited. You get two challenges to dispute by the home plate umpire.
Do you win one if you win?
Do you keep it as long as you're right?
Right. Or do you only get two for the game and that's it? Because the NBA used to eliminate it even if you got it right.
I don't know. I'm reading Passan's tweet. It says teams will receive two challenges to dispute calls by the home plate umpire. Mm. I'm assuming if you get it right, you keep it. Because that would be pretty dumb to only get two the entire game.
Well, you're assuming there, and you know what they say about assuming.
You shouldn't do it.
I mean, I like it. I'm more curious to ask her.
Here, I've got the
MLB
press
release. Announcement. Read the press release. What do we got?
Each club will start the game with two challenges. All successful challenges are retained. Only the pitcher, catcher, or batter may challenge an umpire's call of ball or strike. They must be requested immediately after the call.
That's
players
heat on
cannot
a batter.
Receive help from the coaching staff, other players, or anyone else. In each extra inning, a team will be awarded a challenge if it has none remaining entering the inning.
By that definition, then, you don't get to a game. You get more.
Yeah, if you get the call right. If you get 12 of them right, if you want, you keep going. You get as many of them as you want.
So that's
going
to be a bit of a problem for the time.
Here's the fun part.
What do you tell your
hitters? We're going to have stats on which umpires are challenged the most and which ones get overturned the most.
Because there's going to be a guy in a big game who, like, you've already blown one challenge and he's at the plate and he's a bit of a hothead and he challenges a strike ball call and you get it wrong and you lose your last challenge for the game. And the manager's going to be livid at that guy. So I think it's good. It worked in preseason. They did it in spring training last year, and they do this like a quick motion from the catcher, and you can challenge, and then it goes up on the Jumbotron in the stadium. Now I'm hoping they keep that part of it because immediately they put it on the Jumbotron with the strike zone, and they show the pitch, and the whole crowd reacts to it.
Yeah, it'll
so
be
everybody
like,
can see it.
Yeah, it'll be like at the tennis tournaments.
Yes,
they show it.
Which is exactly how it should be. It'll be very entertaining.
I more want to ask her because she's a Red Sox fan who constantly, when they win, says the Red Sox are going to win the World Series. I want to know which AL team has her shaken in her boots.
Is it the Seattle Mariners?
I want to know if they're on the radar for her.
All right, we got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. We'll start with Lucy Burge. We got Stat or Story coming up, some football nuggies to get to. It's a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.